signed up to run or walk yesterday. I didn't make it. I did go for the finish and watch people come in. Had a number of our group from here that finished pretty high up. I think Brant was the first one out of this whole group to come in. I believe it's 35th. Is that right? 35th. And out of 400 and something, that was, I thought, remarkable. We had a few that, because of their age group, got various medals and so on and finished first in their age groups. And we were proud of all of these. And much to our shame, we had some who took a shortcut and didn't do it right. So. Not going to call any names. We do appreciate people willing to help others. And I think this was a good thing and appreciate people who were able to participate in it. I'd like for us this morning to think about setting our minds. I've heard a statement that said some people's minds are like concrete. It's all mixed up and set like stone. And that's not what we're talking about this morning. But the Bible does talk about setting our minds so that our mind is set on certain things. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, we read, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And so Paul says that we set our minds on something. Everyone has a mindset, and that's every one of us. And our mind is set on something, and we may fool ourselves into thinking that our mind is set on one thing when it's not. We may try to convince ourselves that our mind is set on something when it is set on something else. But every one of us has a mindset, either a mindset on the flesh, that is this world and the things of this world and all that goes with it, or we have our mindset on the Spirit, which is spiritual things, the things that are above. And so the passage we just read in Romans 8 in verse 5 says that those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so every one of us has our mind set on something. In Galatians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. Paul says you can't have your mind set on both of them. It's just like light and darkness. You cannot have light and darkness in the same place because light dispels darkness. And either we have our mind set on the things of the flesh and we live that way, or we have our mind set on the Spirit and we live that way. And so all of us has our mind set on something. But it doesn't just happen on its own. This is not something that just, you know, that's the way it is and I can't do anything about it. No. Every one of us makes a choice. We choose to either set our mind on the things of this world and the things of the flesh, or we choose to set our minds on the things that are spiritual in nature and the things that are above. In Colossians 3 and verses 1 and 2, he says, "If then," and really that's, he's not saying if in the sense of maybe it is and maybe it's not, but since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Now that's not something that happened to you, that's something that you do. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Paul says it is our responsibility then to set our mind on the things of God. It is our responsibility, since we are Christians, and that's what he means by having been raised up with Christ. Since we belong to Christ, it is our responsibility to set our minds on the things that are above. And so we choose our mindset. But our lives will reflect what we have chosen. If we have chosen to set our minds on the things of this world, If we have chosen to set our mind on the things of the flesh, on the things of our own desires and our pleasures or material or whatever it is, if we choose to do that, then our lives will reflect that. But if we choose to set our mind on things that are spiritual, our lives will reflect that. Going back to Romans 8, beginning in verse 3, he says, "What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Paul says, here are those who are walking or living according to the flesh, and there are those who are living or walking according to the Spirit. And he says that the determining factor is, if you read this whole context, the determining factor is where we set our minds. He says to the Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 16, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Paul says then that we must choose, and if we choose to serve and set our minds on the things of the flesh, we will walk according to the flesh. We will live that way. Our lives will reflect a fleshly, worldly attitude. John said, not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. He said, all these things are passing away. We are rather to love God and put Him first. And so if we set our minds on the things that are spiritual, our lives will reflect that. So we live or we walk according to our mindset, either on the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit. And we see this as Paul lists some of the deeds of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. He says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing." And then notice what he says. And things like these. Paul's not making an exhaustive list of things here. Paul says, here are some things, and then there's a whole lot of other things that go in with it. "Of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But then he lists the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, here's the result of living after the Spirit or having our mind set on the Spirit. In the next verse, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Paul says then that if we are children of God, we should have crucified the flesh. We should have put those things away from us. They're not a part of us anymore. We no longer live for those things, but our mind is set on the spiritual things. Our mind is set on serving God and living for Him. When we die to sin and set our mind on the Spirit, it causes us to live for God. In Romans 8, going back to the same chapter, verse 9. "However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation." Notice that word there. That's a strong word. We are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. There is no way. I want to repeat that. There is absolutely no way that I can be a child of God, have the Spirit of God living in me, and not be faithful in my service to God. I can make excuses. I can rationalize. I can try to do all kinds of things to get around it. But Paul says, if the Spirit of God is not living in me and directing me and moving me, then I don't belong to Christ. I may have gone through the motions. I may come to church services. I may do a lot of things. I may be a good person as far as people around me think. But if my mind is not set on spiritual things, I am not what God wants me to be. When we set our mind on the Spirit, we allow Him to live in us. We allow Him to control us. It's then and only then that He's going to help us in our lives. Look at Romans 8, verses 26 through 28. He says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. We need that, don't we? And we all got our weaknesses. And He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. And then He gives an example of one, for we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Not just everybody. Didn't say God causes everything to work good for everybody. No. To those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. That's just another way of saying those who have their mind set on things of the Spirit and are serving God and being faithful to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read there in verse 12, He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man, that is a man of the flesh, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised or understood. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet himself is appraised by no man, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul says, we have the Spirit of God living in us, and He helps us to understand His will, and He helps us to understand His Word. He gives us all of this understanding, and He helps us so much so that we can say we have the mind of Christ in us. Paul, in writing to the preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning verse 13, he says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure which has been entrusted to you. He says, here you be faithful as a servant of God, because God has given you His Spirit to help you to do that. And so when we have our mind set on the Spirit, we allow Him to live in us and control us, and then He will help us in our lives. We can't be what God wants us to be when the Spirit of God is not living in us. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. There in verses 1 through 3, he says, I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're still not able, for you're still fleshly. For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Paul is saying to these Corinthians, he says, look, you've been Christians a long time, and you, by this time, you ought to understand the Word of God. You ought to understand what it means to live for God. You've been a Christian long enough that you ought to know what it means to really be faithful to Him. But you're not. And the reason is because you haven't grown. And the reason you haven't grown is because your mind is not set on spiritual things. All you think about is just the things of this world. Think about having fun. Think about pleasure. Think about making money. Think about having some power or prestige. You think about this world instead of spiritual things. Our mind set on the Spirit, on the flesh, determines our relationship with God. It also determines our eternal destiny. Heaven for him. In Romans 8, verses 6 through 8, the mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Didn't say they might not please God. He said they can't. Can't please God as long as our minds are on the flesh. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, James says, "You adulteresses," talking about spiritual adultery here, "do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." You think the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which is made to dwell in us. But He gives a greater grace, therefore says God is opposed to the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And in Galatians 6, in verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "Do not be deceived." Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. You're not going to fool God. Don't deceive yourself, because God's not going to be fooled. "For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." The one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Where I set my mind determines how I live. But it determines my relationship with God. And that determines my eternal destiny. And yours as well. In Romans chapter 8, Paul concludes that chapter beginning in verse 31. He says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Let me just stop right there. Who is God for? If you go back to verse 28, you remember he said that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who is God for? God is for those who are serving Him. God is for those who have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, "For thy sake we're being put to death all day long, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Paul is saying here that all of the things that are outside of us can never separate us from the love of God. There is nothing in this world that can take us away from God. But we can choose to serve the flesh and set our minds on the flesh. We remove ourselves from God. For in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But you know what Paul said earlier in this same chapter? He said, if our mind is not set on the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is not dwelling in us, then we are not His. But if we are indeed living with our mind set on the Spirit of God does dwell in us, and we are His children, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And we have the promise of heaven. And there's nothing on this earth that can take it away from us. But we have to choose. I have to choose for me. And you have to choose for you. Are you going to set your mind on the Spirit? Or are you going to set your mind on the flesh? Where is your mind set today? Is it on the flesh? Is it on the things of this world? Or is your mind really set on God, on Christ, on the Spirit of God, and things above? You know, you may fool me. You may fool other people around you. And sometimes that happens. And we look at somebody and we think, boy, that person sure is spiritual. And then maybe later in their life something happens, or we find out more about them and find out that they really wasn't, they're just putting on. And then there are some people who have their mind set on the Spirit of God, and they just, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, they just meekly go about day by day serving God little by little in every way they can. And nobody really looks at them and says, boy, look how spiritual they are, but they're living everything in their life for God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man suffers, this he will also reap. The victory, eternal life, is in Jesus Christ. And if the Spirit of God is not living in you and directing you, then you're not His. But you can have the victory. And you can have it today, the promise of eternal life in heaven with God, if you'll come to Jesus in faith. And confess your faith in Him, accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior, turning away from sin and repentance, and be baptized in Christ. He'll forgive you, and He'll give you His Spirit to live in you. If you're hearing your subject, His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.